Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on? It's Matt here from flipweekly.com. I've got another episode here for you. And have thrift stores gone insane? Have they gone insane? Because you would have seen the title of this podcast. And I found something that is usually hidden well behind the counter. It's usually marked up for retail prices. And for some reason, it was just on a shelf for $15, and I've scored like an amazing find. I mean, this week was all about finding like the most sought after products in thrift stores for the cheapest prices. Like, I found fucking sealed Pokemon booster packs. Think of all of the Pokemon collectors and people that go to garage sales and thrift stores looking for Pokemon. Yes, somehow we found it. We found digital cameras that are worth hundreds of dollars and they're under 20 bucks in a thrift store. How does this happen? That's two. Can we get a trifecta? Yes, we can. Because the third thing we found in thrift stores that would be like the holy grail that everyone searches for was sealed video games. That is the trifecta right there. How do we find this? It's just, it is all luck. And yet somehow we're able to just consistently find these great items. Like, this has to be karma in the works, you know? Like, we've all eaten shit sandwiches in the past. Maybe we're moving on to something a bit better. By the way, welcome. My name is Matt. I go to garage sales and thrift stores and I try and make some money. Sometimes I leave without buying a single thing, you know? I hit them up today because I was like, I was going to record the podcast and I thought, what better way to record the podcast than firstly hit up some thrifts and come back with like fresh memories. I can recall my experiences and all these amazing finds. And I come back and I was telling my partner, you know, I got fucking nothing. I got nothing. And she's like, oh, I don't know how to like comfort you. You know, you've said this has been a gigantic waste of like half a day. And I was like, don't comfort me. This is just the way it works. Sometimes when you go out to the thrift, there's just nothing, you know? And that's fine. I'm out there looking for items that are going to be worth at least $100 resale. I want to turn, ideally, like five into 100. And there just wasn't anything like that. I found a couple of cool things that sort of ticked those boxes, but I just didn't want to. I didn't want to pay up for them. You know, there was this really cool Lord of the Rings book. It was, you know, the book that Lord of the Rings. It's not based on, but it's like the Silmarillion. Is that what it's called? It's by the same author, from what I understand, J.R.R. Tolkien. And it had like this green spine. What's the opposite of a spine on a book? So not the spine, but like where all the pages are. All of those were green and it was like illustrated by the author. And I looked online and it comps up for around $100, but I let it go because it was at the front of the store and they had $25 on it. And I don't usually like to buy items that the thrift store is promoting because they've obviously looked into it to a degree. And I don't like that. I feel like it's like, you know, if you're a crocodile and you're having someone feed you like a goat's leg, you know, you want to be out there in the field hunting for that goat. You don't want a goat's leg thrown in your mouth. So I don't like to do that. I would prefer if I found that book in, you know, the book section for like $1 or $2. So I left that behind, but that's also just a nice little tip. That book, The Silmarillion, can be worth a lot of money depending on which version it is you get. So you find Lord of the Rings, look for that one too. You know, it's by JRR, so you might get lucky. But yeah, I left that behind. But yeah, today was just not a good day for thrifting. Pop culture items, I found like this cool like Saddle Club library bag. It looked like it was from the 90s. It was worth the photo, but not worth picking up. You know, there was, what else was there? There was like Rocco's Modern Life on DVD, season one, just some really cool older sort of Nickelodeon stuff that is worth like taking a photo, but it's just not worth buying. And those days happen, and it's okay to have those days. You come back and you only really need to get lucky one time. That's what I tell myself. You know, this is an odds-based game. Maybe you get lucky, you get a big find, 1 in 5, 1 in 10, even, you know, 1 in 15. And that's what I think, you know. If I am going to hit up 5 in one day, I just think it's a numbers game. If I don't hit the first one, the second, it could be the fifth one. All it takes is that one time. And yeah, this is what happened with Pokemon. So it was a Sunday afternoon. I had a big Saturday night, and Sunday I needed to run a few errands. And when I say run a few errands, I mean I need like food and like a 7-Eleven Slurpee. You know, I need like some greasy food and a Slurpee. Oh, and a trip to Office Works for some bubble wrap. But I pull myself out of the house and I duck to those places. And then, you know, Vinny's is open on a Sunday, so I figure there's not going to be anyone in there that I know. They won't look at me all disheveled and judge too harshly. So I'll go into Vinny's and I'll see what's in there. And I walk in, I go straight to the glass cabinet. I don't usually do that. It just really depends on if there's people, you know, in the aisles, and it's just, you know, easier to divert there. And I'll take a quick glance. I don't do much with jewelry. I don't do much with gold or silver. I don't know that much apart from, you know, you should be looking for the markings. But I assume in 2025, the staff really go over that shit. I will try and learn it at some point in time. But yeah, I went over to the glass cabinet, and I noticed in the top left-hand side cabinet, there was two people looking on eBay, looking up these items. And I caught a glimpse, and there was these, like, it looked like a Pokemon booster pack. So it looked like a display box that the shops have. They open them up, and then people come in and buy like individual packs of the Pokemon cards. And there's 18 in these packs, so you know, you can just imagine it as sitting on a shelf, and people come in, they pay $5 or $10 for these individual packs. And yeah, it was all sealed within the Pokemon plastic seal. And the people were looking it up, and I was like, okay, well, if they don't buy it, then I'll take a look at it. I didn't want to budge in. You know, there was three packs. They had their hands on one. They were in front of the glass cabinet. I'm not the sort of person that's going to like reach over their heads and pull one out. I was like, okay, I'll wait and see. They also had a pile of video games and a couple of books. Video games and a couple of DVDs. And just based on the DVDs and stuff that they had, I had a feeling they were going to try and resell, which is really cool. And also the fact that they were looking on eBay right in front of me, I think that sort of shows that they were reselling, which is great. I love seeing resales in my area. So they were looking up these Pokemon packs. I didn't look them up at that time. I continued walking. They were in the way of the cabinet. I wasn't going to stop and stare. I just made a mental note. When they leave, go up, have a look. So I continued looking throughout the store, found absolutely nothing. You know, there was some Ben 10 season 1 to 3 DVDs for around $1 each, and that show you can get around $50 for it, which is cool. Didn't pick them up though. There was also a couple of Saddle Club DVDs. If you get a series of that, you can also make a tiny bit of money. There was one DVD there that I'm going to point out to you because it would be worth picking up. I just didn't. The TV show is called The Repair Shop. I don't know if it's a BBC thing. I don't know if it's like I don't think it's an Australian thing, but it's called The Repair Shop. It was season 10 of the TV show, and it sells on eBay. It has sold comps for $90. And if you can get, you know, 1 to 8 or whatever, you can make close to $1,000. So look that up on eBay. There isn't a complete collection on eBay. So if you find one, you can usually find another. I did find the one, and I looked for a tiny bit trying to find if there was any more, but no, there was just the one. I didn't buy it. I just wasn't feeling it. I was too preoccupied in my mind with like, I'm going to go buy Pokemon. And you know, a DVD called The Repairman just didn't, you know, excite me. But I thought I would tell you about it just because it's a TV show worth picking up. So just remember that. Oh, it's not The Repairman, it's The Repair Shop. So check that out on eBay. But yeah, I was more preoccupied with going back and getting this Pokemon. Now, one of the reasons I was excited about this Pokemon was because I figured if it's not worth that much money, I saw at the time that there was a $15 price tag on it. I thought if it isn't worth that much, if it's like worth maybe like $40, $50, I would buy it and I would open the packs. Now, I've done that before and I actually recorded it on Instagram, and it's one of my most viewed videos of all time. It's like 60,000 views. Now, for someone like me who runs Flip Weekly with very, very little views and a podcast with even smaller numbers, I thought, you know, this would be a good chance to get some content, and I would open the packs. And who knows, when you open these Pokemon packs, sometimes the cards inside can be worth more than the sealed packs. So I walk back up the stairs, I go back to the front cabinet, and the people are checking out, and they've got two out of the three packs. They've left one behind. Makes me a bit suspicious, wondering what's wrong with this last pack. But I looked it over, everything looked good, and I picked it up. I brought it back and I looked up comps for it. And this Pokemon pack has sold comps around the $200 mark. You know, there was the most recent one was $179 plus postage. So that's $189, basically $200, okay? We're rounding up here. And there are comps over $200 too. And when I'm looking at active comps, I see only one within Australia, and it's for $280. There's, two overseas, and they're both over $200 too. Multiple watches, and you know, when it comes to Pokemon and Pokemon cards, this shit just sells. Because it is literally gambling. Not literally, but it feels like gambling, you know. As a gambler, and having opened Pokemon cards at one time, like 2 months ago, it feels way, way too close to gambling. And I can't believe parents allow their kids to do this. Look, I'm not judging. I'm just saying, as somebody that's gambled and lost like a lot of money, I would not allow my kids to get Pokemon cards. Or play video games that have those loot boxes too, because that shit, man, it's gambling, bro. It's like, they open these Pokemon cards, they throw out 90% of it. They're hoping for like the 10%, or not even the 10%, the 1% that is worth any money. And if it's worth any money, it's not worth that much. Anyway, crusade about gambling aside, I brought them home. I saw the comps, huge money, $200+, really happy about that. So we really have two options. We can either list them up and sell them, which is, you know, what you should do, or you can open them up and hope for a more valuable card inside, and you can also use it for content. Now, for most of you that are listening, you're not going to be using it for content because you just want to make some money, which is, you know, that's what everyone should be doing. I had to toss that up, and I decided to look online to see what the most valuable cards were within this pack. Now, I haven't followed Pokemon since I was a kid. My Pokemon are like the original 151, you know, Pikachu, Squirtle, whatever. This pack was called Scarlet and Violet Stellar Crown. Doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know what Scarlet or Violet is. I don't know what Stellar Crown means. What it was that I bought was that, and it's classed as a half booster box. So it has 18 sealed packs inside of it. Now, I honestly don't understand why the thrift store sold this for $15. There's 18 sealed packs inside. Even if they're a dollar each, that's still $18. And when have thrift stores never charged what Pokemon is worth? Pokemon is usually behind the cabinet, behind the counter. They're usually looked over probably by every member of staff, and you know, they're priced up. I honestly don't get it. These three, so not just one, could have slipped through the cracks. There was three of these packs, over $600 worth of value, just put on the shelf and for anyone to pick up. Like, how does that happen? Think of all of the dumb shit you've seen priced up or locked away in a thrift store. Now, think of like what would be on everyone's radar, Pokemon. Somehow it goes up for $15. I honestly don't understand it. It blows my mind, some of the way some of the shit that goes on in thrifts. Oh, by the way, this exact same thrift store was the one that had that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles poster on the bathroom door, which I asked if I could buy. That's no longer there. So somebody has gotten that fucking poster. God, distracted. Back to the box. Yeah, don't know how they were able to sell it. Don't know why they were able to sell it for $15. Anyway, I looked at the most valuable cards within this pack. I looked on a website called TCG Player at the top 10 most valuable cards. And, you know, number 10 is coming in at $15. That's US dollars. So usually around double it for AUD. And the most valuable card in that pack is a Squirtle. And that looks to be around $60. So 120 Australian dollars. So in order to make money, if I open them up, I'd have to be looking for like the most valuable card. And I don't know, I just don't feel like I'd be lucky enough to find the most valuable card in these packs. You know, you get 18 tries. Even though I was extremely lucky to find the booster pack or the half booster pack, I just don't think I'd be that lucky to find one of the most valuable cards. So the decision there is obviously to list it up. We're not going to take any chances. You could make an argument that I'm taking a chance listing Pokemon on eBay, considering the podcast, the newsletter, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, where I got scammed by someone by, yes, I sold sealed Pokemon cards before and they said they were not sealed. They could try that shit again. But we're seasoned veterans at selling sealed Pokemon cards on eBay now. If they try that shit again, we'll just go back to not our threats, but our insinuation that we have legal counsel and that we'll fuck shit up, you know. Anyway, listed them up. They're up on eBay now for $220. I undercut the other Australian selling them. They had it up for $280. I did $220. I figure, you know, after post and after fees, I'd be left with over $150 worth of profit, which is insane. Which is insane. Just picture me pulling myself out of the house on a Sunday after a big sad day night. All I want is like some greasy food and to like get in and out of Office Works as quickly as possible for bubble wrap. Stumble into to Vinny's half asleep, half like just get me out of here type thing. And then eyes wide open when I see fucking sealed Pokemon booster packs. Like, am I in the right store? Am I in the right place? Why is there not a zero on the end of this $15 price tag? And last of all, massive, massive kudos to the two people that got the other packs. Like, they're going to go back and make a shit ton of money. They're going to turn that $30 that they spent on these two packs into at least $400. I haven't seen them on eBay yet. If that was you, thank you for leaving me a box behind. I don't know why you did. I don't know why you didn't pick up all three. Like, if I would have been there 5 minutes before you, I have no issues with saying I would not have left you a pack. I am thankful that you left me one, but I would not extend that both ways. I would have taken back all three packs and made $600 or more. So yeah, I mean, there's no lesson here. The lesson here is just you can get lucky. It can be your day in a thrift store. I talked to the member of staff at the front counter and she said that three had come in and I got the last one. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. It's right place, right time. And that's all it is, you know. That's what thrifting can be. If you go in lazy afternoon, some people would be at home just chilling. No one's hitting up the thrift, but they're putting out sealed Pokemon cards. And yeah, this is the second time I've found sealed booster packs of Pokemon in a thrift store before. The very first time I said, when I found them a couple of months ago, I said this would never happen again. It has happened again. Lightning has struck twice. Listen to me now, okay? It will never happen again. It will never, ever happen again. Mark my words. If it does happen again, then I don't know. If it happens again, I'll give them away to somebody here that's listening, okay? You can mark my words on that. Three times, no way. Two times is just lucky. The thrift stores are just giving this shit away, man. Like, Anyway, yeah, that was the first massive find of the day. Now, of the next trifecta of items that I found, you know, I spoke about the Pokemon and the video games and the camera being the trifecta. I've just told you about the Pokemon. The next is the video games. So in most thrift stores that you're going into, at the video game section, you're going to find Wii Fit. You're going to find FIFA. You're going to find SingStar. If you're lucky, you'll be able to find anything else, okay? You might be able to find, like, the Nintendo DS Brain Trivia game, whatever the fuck that's called. All the games are worthless. They're 100% picked through by staff, probably given to their eBay department or whatever department that they keep the video games for. I don't even know why they bother putting out these Wii Fits in there. And their counterparts, because nobody ever buys them. And if anybody buys them, I mean, nobody buys them. Nobody's buying that shit. Anyway, there must have been a huge donation of video games come in, because I told you about that couple that had got a big pile. That was actually a couple of days after this huge donation came in, because I had already gone through those and I didn't find anything that was worth picking up. There was some titles that you don't usually see in thrift stores. You know, there was a lot of Naruto. There was some Postman Pat, Bob the Builder. They're not titles that you usually see. They're not worth that much money. But this couple was still able to find, I guess, some that were going to, you know, they did the maths and found some that were going to make some money. But yeah, the day that they came in, I guess I was able to find the best ones. And they were two factory sealed video games. And it's actually the first time I've found PlayStation Vita games. Is it PlayStation Vita or PlayStation Vita? All I know is this is the Sony PlayStation portable gaming system. When I was a kid, I had the PSP, and I've sold the PSP since then. I've never had a PS Vita. I've never played a PS Vita. Their cases are a bit smaller than regular video games. The two that I've found, like I said, we're factory sealed, and you can always get more money for factory sealed video games, especially if they're older ones. The PS Vita came out X years ago. I don't know, but it's not a new console. The newest PlayStation console is obviously the PlayStation 5. So sealed PlayStation 5 games, you'd be able to get top price. But yeah, PS Vita is still something that you can get some money for. So the two games that I found, they're actually by the same developer or the same publishing company. The games were called War Theater and Mecho Wars Desert Ashes. Both games had a $5 price tag on them. And like I said, they were by the same publisher / distributor, creator, whatever. So you can lot them up together. You know, if you got like Sims 1, Sims 2, Sims 3, you'd be able to sell them together because they're the same sort of game. I was able to do this with these games too. Now, when I looked up comps, most of the comps were including the word Kickstarter on the title. So this was a Kickstarter game. Kickstarter is obviously a crowdfunding platform where people can chip in money to help raise money for a cause and or a business. And this business was trying to create these video games, you know, trying to raise some money so they could do whatever with the video game, sell the video game. $5 each. And when I looked on eBay for comps, for both of these, they were averaging around $80 in sold comps. So that's almost at our $100 price point that we want. And I figure I'll be able to list these up on eBay together for $149.95. There wasn't many active listings, so it should get some attention, and listed on Marketplace for an even $100. So $100 Marketplace, $150 on eBay. I've said before, but the reason why I list cheaper on eBay is because people are looking for deals on, why I list it cheaper on Marketplace, sorry, is that people are looking for deals on Marketplace, whereas on eBay, they're already in that shopping mindset. So Marketplace, it needs to be a deal for somebody to buy it. And of course, you don't have the fees that eBay has. And, you know, the money comes straight into your account or you get it in cash, which is always handy. So yeah, $100 on Marketplace, $150 on eBay, should get some eyeballs on it. And again, it just proves that you can find sealed video games or video games worth reselling in thrift stores in 2025. This isn't the first time I've found video games this year sealed in thrift stores to resell. So if anyone tells you otherwise, it's incorrect. Like I said, the ones that you will find all the time, Wii Fit, FIFA, they're not worth anything, but you can get lucky. The PS Vita, maybe it was passed on by people in the back because they didn't have that console. It's not a mainstream console, I don't think. You know, obviously Sony and PlayStation are mainstream, but PS Vita is sort of like the awkward sister, you know, like you have the PlayStation, but the little handheld gaming console, maybe nobody wants to deal with it in the back, so it gets put onto us buyers out the front. Always happy for that. And yeah, should be an easy 10 into at least 100 or at least 150. And the other thing that I found in the thrift, which completes the trifecta of such unusual things to find in the thrift store just because they're so popular and it's something that everybody resells, is cameras. You know, you watch YouTubers on YouTube. You watch resellers on YouTube. You read anything reselling, and cameras are such a high, cameras are high on the list of items for people to buy to resell. They have quick sell-through rates. You can usually get them cheap and sell them high, and that is what I was able to do for this one. I found a Samsung point-and-shoot digital camera. The model number, for those who know cameras, is ST60, and it was a purple one. It came in the box. It came with all the instructions and manuals. It's important when you find these in thrift stores to open them up and just see what you're buying. And I did that, and I was able to see the camera. I gave it a look over. I wanted to see if there was any chips on the screen. I wanted to turn it on and see if it powered on. It didn't, but we'll get to that a bit later. I wanted to open up, check it had the battery, check it had its charger, and also just check to see if there's a cheeky little SD card in there, so that you can go through everyone's photos when you get it back. So it had all of those in there, and I'm thinking, you know, I look up comps for it, and this can sell for around $200. And I'm thinking, why is a $200 camera in Vinny's priced at $15? You know, I put on my tinfoil hat all the time. I'm thinking they know it doesn't work, but I'm going to take a flyer on it. The reason I took a flyer on it was because I thought maybe, just maybe, they tried to turn it on like I did, and they just didn't have the time to charge it up and check to see if it actually works. And I thought, I have the time, I can do that. If it doesn't work, you can always return it, or you can sell it online for parts. And parts online, you get around $20 for. You could probably part it all out, you know, sell the charger and the battery and everything individually, and you might get a bit more money, but it'll take forever. But I thought, I'll take a gamble on it. It's only $15, and if I can get it to work, I can sell it for $200. So I take it home, and you know, the very first thing that you do is you chuck it on charge, and I could see that there was a red light coming from the charger, and I thought, well, that doesn't look too good. I looked it up on the instruction manual, and that meant that it was charging, so everything seemed fine. I walked away for around 30 minutes and came back to it, pressed the power on button, and you know, the lens came out, and it powered on. I had a look through it. I took a couple of photos, see if, you know, anything was coming up blurry, because I did a Google search on this particular camera, and there was some common problems that seemed to pop up, and they were mostly about the photos coming out blurry and it being an issue with the lens. And but that's the thing, there was nothing wrong with it. And then, you know, all that you do from there is you go through the person's photos to delete them, okay? And then we're deleting the photos that we also just took, because we don't want people to see our living rooms. And then, you know, go take some photos of it and put it online. This has been put online for $199.95, cost $15. And I'm just summing this up that they got it in. It might have been a busy day. They tried to turn it on. They couldn't get it to work. They didn't have like the space or the time to chuck it on charge, so they just sold it for $15. And yeah, it worked. Like, just took that flyer on it. So yeah, cameras obviously something to pick up. They're becoming rarer and rarer to find in thrift stores, and if you do find them, usually in the glass display cabinets, and they have, you know, tags on them that say their model number and stuff, so you know that the employees have gone on eBay and looked it up, so you might not be able to get a deal. But yeah, this one didn't have any signs of that. It was just sitting on the shelf, and I just looked it up myself. I just did what they didn't do, and yeah, charged it up, took the gamble. And like I said, if it wasn't working, you can always sell it for parts or return it. So yeah, those are the three trifecta items. They're so hard to find now in thrift stores. I mean, I say hard to find, you're never going to find the fucking sealed Pokemon booster packs. Sealed video games is going to be tricky, and digital cameras, not so much. You would have luck. You might have luck. I shouldn't say you would. I'll set you up for failure. You might get lucky at garage sales finding this stuff. You would get lucky with cameras. I find cameras at garage sales all the time. Video games, not all the time do I find them sealed, but I do find them at garage sales, especially the consoles and the accessories. Pokemon cards, honestly, good luck. Kids, what kid is going to keep a sealed pack? You know, they're going to rip it open. You'll be able to find Pokemon cards at a garage sale if they haven't been picked over by everyone else. But if you're like me and you have no idea about Pokemon in 2025, you can take a gamble, or you can just leave it to someone that knows better. And, you know, if you consistently see them at garage sales, that's your sign to come home and learn more about them. Do some research, see what sells, and because that's what we got to do in 2025. We've got to do more research. The niches are getting smaller. There's more people doing this, which is great. I want as many people to have these side hustles and make some extra money on the side. And there is enough to go around. There is enough thrift stores and garage sales for everyone to make some money. But yeah, it's going to be tricky to find some of this stuff in the wild. You just got to get lucky. So that's really all that I wanted to talk about in terms of buying this week. There's a couple of other items that I've included in the newsletter if you're wanting some more content there. Also, all of these finds, or most of these finds, you can go onto Flip Weekly's social media and you'll be able to see me actually finding them, just so you could see them in person. Also, those photos are on the newsletter, flipweekly.com. But now it's time to move on to what sold this week. And it was such a quick turnaround time for these first two items. It is what I talked about in the What I Bought. They were the two sealed video games. I sold them on Facebook Marketplace for $100 plus postage. And it was a good sale. It was quick. It was 10 into 100. And the buyer was actually very friendly. A friendly buyer on Marketplace, which is, it can be rare out there, you know, because Marketplace is almost like the Wild West. But this guy, he kept calling me boss man, which I thought was like both really cool and made me feel good. I'm just going to read out some of these messages because he sent me a message. They sold in less than 24 hours, by the way. I'm pretty sure they sold on the exact same night that I listed them up, but the guy sends me a message and he's like, "Hey boss, is it $100 for both?" It's usually a good sign, by the way, if somebody says, "Is it like the price for both?" Because they're a bit confused, thinking that it's for each individual one. And it's usually somebody that's, if you reply saying yes, it's for both, they're going to purchase it. So I told him, "Yeah, mate, it is." And he asked if I would do $100 for everything, including postage. And I said that I needed the extra for post just because I'm so lazy and I can't do it for free. And he says to me after I say, you know, I need that extra $10, he was like, "Meet in the middle, $105, boss man." And I'm like, "All right, I'll do it. Send me through the payment, whatever." And he's like, "Thanks, boss." And then he's like, "Let me know the tracking number when posted, please, boss man." I'm just thinking like this guy is so fucking friendly. Call me boss man constantly. Like, you know, I tell him that I'll have him in the post on Monday, which I did. And he was like, "Beautiful, sounds good, cheers, boss." It's like, what a wholesome conversation with this fella. Just walking away feeling nice that yeah, I'm the boss. So fucking stupid. Anyway, that was good. Those games out the door so quickly. It just goes to show, man, like, you can find them in the thrift store and you can get them out the same day. You can make good money doing shit like this. Like, if you had unlimited access to factory sealed old video games, you'd be in for like a career path change, right? Like, career path change? No, a career change, yeah. Selling old sealed video games. But I probably missed out on some money not having these sell on Instagram. Oh, I'm out of it. Selling these on eBay. Because they were listed for 150, but it's fine. It's good. It was in my account. So yeah, they went out the door really quickly. The next thing that sold is something that has been on eBay forever. I've had it since the garage sale trail back in November. If you don't remember that, this is pre the podcast, but it's in the middle of the newsletter. If you go back and check out the newsletter, search on the website, flipweekly.com, look at the past issues and look for the garage sale trail. We had killer items on that garage sale trail. I went by myself the first time. The second time, I took my sister who wanted to make some money. I was really cute. I remember her getting in the car. She had a wallet full of $5 notes. She's like, I'm fucking ready for this. And ready we were. We walked away with so much cool shit, including like Nintendo Game & Watches, which sell easily for $100 to $200, which we sold almost instantly. We found two of those. We found like a bloody CRT TV for like $5 that I sold on eBay for $300. Siegerwald Sydney t-shirt that I bought for $20 and sold for like $300. We just walked away with so much stuff, including an item that is the quickest item ever sold. It was something that I got my sister to list up and it sold within minutes, like within 3 or 4 minutes, I think, which it sort of pissed me off because it was hers and not mine. My fastest ever sale is like 14 minutes or so. So she holds the record for that. Go back and read those. But the item that I sold, I got from the sale, I paid $10 for it and it sold for $89.95. What it is, do you guys remember Teletubbies? I'm sure you do. There were those four giant babies that, they weren't babies. They were like these alien looking motherfuckers. And they had a baby in the sun. So I don't know if they worshipped the baby in the sun. I don't know if they were aliens, how they came to planet Earth, if they were even in Earth. I remember they had like a animal vacuum cleaner and they ate a shit ton of toast. But the Teletubbies were incredibly popular back in the late 90s, maybe even early 2000s. And I found this backpack in the shape of one of the Teletubbies, Dipsy. You know, if you watch the Teletubbies, everyone had a favorite. I didn't really watch them, but my sisters did. Everyone loved Po, which I think was like the baby spice of the group. I don't know which one Dipsy is. Dipsy was the green one. I don't know. One of them had a handbag. Maybe that's the posh spice version of the Teletubbies. I don't know. But yeah, it was a Teletubbies backpack. I saw it hanging up at this garage sale. And I thought, oh, fuck, I have to have that. I've never seen it before. It had like the official Teletubbies tags from 1996. Green backpack. You could open it up and put stuff inside, and the face on it was like a plastic face. So I hadn't really seen it before. The comps online seem to be around $50 to $100, mostly in America, not many here in Australia. So I put it up on eBay for $99.95 with free post, thinking that someone will get it just because, you know, there's Teletubbies collectors, Teletubbies fans, and it got it seriously got views every single day. It had a watcher added to it, you know, easily more than once a week. Like this thing was constantly getting people watching it, and I was sending out offers and nobody was biting the bullet, which was annoying, you know, because I just had it so long and it was one of, when I'd sort my listings into most viewed and most watched, it was constantly at the top. So it was always on my radar. And I was just thinking, when is someone going to buy this? I wanted to sell it because I also knew that posting it would be so easy. You know, you just chuck it in a padded mailer, chuck it in a satchel. It's a backpack. It's easy to post. So eventually I lowered the price. I reduced it by $10. It's gone from $99.95 to $89.95. And what do you know? It has sold. And usually when you have a lot of people watching it and watching an item and a lot of people viewing the item, but it's not selling, chances are it's because it's priced a bit too high, which makes sense. You know, I did price this high compared to what was on the market. There wasn't many like it, which is also why I posted it high. And yeah, it was in so many people's carts. It was in so many people's eBay watch list, and having it reduced by $10, it might have sent out like a notification to everyone that was watching and somebody has bought it. So I'm happy about that. I got it out of the house. Everything that I buy Teletubbies goes on to sell or has gone on to sell. And it's funny, like looking in the looking up Teletubbies to see what sells. You know, you can get the plush. If you find the plush, you'd want to find all four of them. It's probably not worth buying, like just selling one individually when it comes to like posts and stuff. But I, from that exact same garage sale, I found four, the original four plush toys, and that sold pretty much instantly. The things that sell for a lot of money Teletubbies wise, it's not the plush, it's not like the action figures, it's not the backpacks like this. They're actually like kids' clothes. And it's something to keep an eye out for if you find one thing Teletubbies. Just if you find like, you know, a couple of Teletubbies, maybe there's been some kids donations too, like they've donated their old kids clothes. Because if you find the Teletubby clothing for kids, you know, the thing that sells consistently on eBay are like the overalls and the t-shirts. Like if you look on eBay, there's multiple fucking Teletubbies jumpsuits, overalls that are selling for close to $1,000. So these are going back to like 1998 and the early 2000s. You know, there's a Teletubby sweater from the 90s, which is a kid's. Like the size is like 3T. I don't know what that means. Maybe like a 3-year-old, or I don't know. But that sold for $600. And the all of the denim overalls, there's not just one. There's like 5, 10 all sold in the last 90 days for over $500. Like blue denim Teletubbies overalls, $500 on auction with multiple bids. So this shit, it fucking sells. And the overalls, the denim sells the most. So if you come across Teletubbies and you see, you know, maybe the VHS or the DVDs in the thrift store, it's not a bad idea to go look in the kids section and see if you can find Teletubbies clothing. Especially at garage sales too. If they have one thing of this, maybe they'll have another thing. But I was just really surprised. I thought the toys were the things that would sell the most. But no, it's the kids' clothing. And that is so bizarre to me. Like, I didn't know much about kids like 2 years ago. I'm an uncle now, and I just know that kids grow out of clothes so fucking quickly. So it blows my mind that somebody would spend $1,000 or close to $1,000. I mean, this pink Teletubbies overall, size 4T, 4T, not 40, is $859 overseas. That kid is going to grow out of it so quickly. Like, you're going to be wearing it, like, to the park, like, what, three times? Someone's going to see it? So, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Kids grow out of shit so quickly. I wouldn't be spending that much money. My niece and my nephew, they get, I spoil them to a degree. You know, they're getting, you know, Easter show bags, and they get presents when I see them. But would I spend $859 on a pair of overalls that's going to last maybe like one, between seeing them now and seeing them next time? They grow so quickly. I'd see them in all once. Like, yeah, not for me. But if you find it, like, put it up, sell it. It's something that you would easily buy for like $5 or $10. You know, thrift store employees and other people aren't going to know that this is like $1,000 product. But you do. If you ever find anything Teletubbies, tag me in it and let me know, because it is sort of nostalgic to me. I remember bits and pieces of it, but yeah, I like to see the different stuff. The next thing that sold was really, it was a quick sale. I talked about it last week. I found it in a thrift store for $8. It was the Sanyo Microcassette Recorder. So this is one of those voice recorder dictaphone things. I mentioned that I found it in the box with its original instructions. I took it home and tested it and it was working. And I said that I took a bit of a flyer with the price. Not really a flyer. I just almost made up a price in a way. I listed it for $99.95. Comps at the time were lower than that. They were around 60, 70, 80. None of them had the phone. They had the phone. None of them had the box. And that's just me adding a premium for having the box, original box, and the original instructions. And that is sold for $99.95, $100. So 80 to 100 bucks. These things look like they look like they're worthless. You know, they look like they're old technology, because they are. But some people still use these. I don't know who. I'm going to guess old people, you know. Who else would be using them? Because we have phones, right? Like, a phone can do everything this does better and cheaper. So it has to be old people, right? Which is cool. We'll sell things to old people. Why not? But the lesson here is those, anything cassette in terms of the console things, not the actual cassette tapes, but if it plays them, usually you can get a bit of a premium for them now, just because it's 2025 and 80% of the population has moved on to better things. Better voice recorders. You can just record your voice using your phone. But, you know, I've tried to do tech support for old people or older people, and it's quite difficult. They like to stick with what they know, which is cool. I'm not shitting on old people. We're making money, and they're getting what they want. It's all fine. But yeah, microcassette recorder, such an exciting product, but $100 for it, so hell yeah, we can't complain. Next thing was another big box PC game. I talk about these a lot just because I find them a lot. This one was bought for $3. It's called Homeworld from 1999. I don't know anything about the game. I just know what a big box PC game looks like in the thrift store, and that's why I picked it up. You know, these things, they go in the board game section. They go never really in the video game section. They're just games that you can play on your computer. That's all it is. They're just old, and they came in boxes back in the day. You know, nowadays, video games come in cases. Back then, they came in boxes. And you can usually tell them apart from board games because they'll have like a rating classification on it, you know, whether it's G for general or MA for mature audiences. And if you look closely at them or you look on the back, you'll be able to see the system requirements. And, you know, you're not going to have system requirements for a board game because you don't put fucking Monopoly into your computer, right? These all come with discs and stuff. So you put the disc in, there's media on it, it needs a rating for the government. And this one, Homeworld, bought for $3. It sold for $129.95. And if you get really good ones, you can sell for a lot of money. Even the not so good ones, you can sell for, my average price for big box PC games is around $50. So yeah, if you find them, you're in for a payday. If they're in good condition, even better. If they're sealed in plastic, even better. You guys will remember that I sold some really old school floppy disk style computer games not that long ago, and they were bought for like $3 each, or they were bought for something like that, and I ended up making thousands of dollars off them. If you haven't listened to that, go back. You can see all the photos again on flipweekly.com on the newsletter. The podcast would have been maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, so you'll be able to see it if you're wherever you're listening to the podcast. By the way, if you're listening to the podcast on YouTube, can you please give me a fucking comment, a like, or a subscribe? Because I'm not getting anything on YouTube, and you know, give me some fucking motivation, you know? Anyway, those big box PC games are really good. Make some money with them. And they're overlooked because they look like they're worth nothing. And it's like, who would play a video game that needs a floppy disk? Nobody, except for old people. And we thank those old people. Now, for something a bit different, we have a new segment, which I'm going to be calling Secondhand Opinions. Now, every week I'll throw up a controversial or at least somewhat spicy reselling topic, and I'll present my argument, and it's your job as a listener to agree with me or disagree with me. So I'll mention the topic. I'll tell you my thoughts. Then you can write in. You can send an email. You can go to flipweekly.com, go to the contact page and submit what you think. Or you can even get in touch via social media or even leave a comment on this audio platform, whatever you're listening to it on. So this week's topic is it okay to haggle at a charity op shop? Very, very simple topic, but one that might differ based on where you're living. I know here in Australia, we don't really do that much haggling, I don't think. We have markets every weekend that people go to, and there is some haggling there, but I don't think it really goes on here inside the actual store. So let me know what you think. I'm going to tell you what I think real quick. My poorly thought out opinion is that I don't think it's okay. And the reason why I don't think it's okay is for three reasons. The first is that the staff aren't prepared. So in my area, the people behind the counter, they're not salesmen. They're not there to negotiate with the customer. In most cases, you know, they're elderly staff members, they're volunteers. Some of my thrift stores even hire people with disabilities, and they're not salespeople. They're not trained on the pricing or how to negotiate with members of the public. So that's the first reason why I don't think that you should haggle at a shop, at a thrift store. But the second one is also that haggling can create disagreements. And, you know, we've all seen how people can treat retail staff. You go on YouTube right now and you can look up videos of, you know, McDonald's staff getting abused just because they forgot to put like a single nugget inside of a meal. So imagine doing that at a thrift store where like the price isn't consistent with the rest of the buyers, and you can just picture, you know, like an 80-year-old Vinnie's volunteer saying that they can't sell a $100 item for $5 to somebody like that's getting aggressive and as like some jacked up bogan. And I mean, the third is that as much as I moan about the prices in thrift stores and how it's all over the place, in most cases, they are pretty low. You know, we complain so much about, you know, items being priced almost at retail prices or where we can't make a profit. But, you know, if you're just buying for yourself personal stuff, in most cases, it is cheaper. Like, I went to a bookstore the other day and I honestly couldn't believe the prices of the books. Like, there's also another bookstore near me called Harry Hartog. I always confuse that fucking name. If you're in Australia, do you ever confuse Harry Hartog for Harry Warthog? That's where my brain goes with that fucking name. You go in there and you see like a Harry Potter. Harry Potter is like the, is like when you're comparing, it's just such an easy comparison. It's like where people can compare different pricing in different countries with like a McDonald's Big Mac. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the illustrated edition, you see it constantly in thrift stores. It's usually around $5 or $10. That in a Harry Hartog bookstore is fucking $65. It's not even half. I mean, do the math for me. It's like not even a quarter. It's like a tenth of the price almost. Not quite, but it's like a seventh of the price. Bookstores are fucking expensive. And, you know, thrift stores, their prices are low. You know, when I buy the Harry Potter illustrated book for $5 in a thrift store to resell, probably not. But you know what I mean? Like, the price is already low. So I couldn't imagine trying to haggle with a thrift store employee. I just don't think it's right. If you've done that before and succeeded, I'd love to know. If you've done it before and you disagree with me, you think that, you know, this is a non-profit that gets everything for free, so therefore you can bargain with them, let me know. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's right. But yeah, let me know what you think in the comments. Write in and let's see where everyone lands on this. There's also a poll on the Flip Weekly newsletter. If you're very passionate about this topic, jump on there and vote one way or the other. But yeah, you know what my side of it is now. You'll never see me haggle with a thrift store employee. You also really won't see me haggle with somebody at a garage sale either. I've mentioned this before, you know, garage sales, I think it's fine, but I'm at that point in my life where I just really can't be fucked haggling with somebody at a garage sale. I usually just, if I can see that their pricing is like in line with what I expect to pay, then I'll definitely pick up an item. But if we're too far apart, you know, I'm just not even going to bother. I don't want to have to convince them or go do that back and forth. But yeah, Garage sales, I think, are fine. Charity op shops, I'm going to say no. So what do you think? Do you think it's okay to haggle with people at a charity op shop? That's what I'm asking you. With all that said, that is it for the Flip Weekly podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a review. And yeah, I hope you do well at the garage sales this weekend. Let me know if you find anything cool. And I will see you again next week.
Flip, 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 fl